You and I with Rashmi Shetty is a Human Library audio podcast, bringing in stories of people you and I can draw inspiration from. Welcome to the third season of this amazing story listening journey. Ordinary folks, extraordinary lives, their uniqueness and individuality, making them interesting to talk to and to listen to. Each one of them completely connected to the voice in me and with motivational stories of moving beyond themselves to make a difference in the world. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider. The world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is Gaurav Sharma. Gaurav currently works as the Chief Excellence Officer at LEED, a unicorn startup. He's the co-author of two coffee table books on Artie Burman titled Strings of Eternity and Diamonds and Rust, and has worked on national award-winning film Pancham Unmixed and a film on Jagjit Singh titled Kagaz Ki Kashti. Gaurav is a graduate from IIT Bombay, a gold medalist from IIM, an ex-business consultant and a strategy professional. As a leadership and management speaker, he has taken multiple sessions on the life and musical journey of Artie Burman, taking inspiration from different fields, business, science, mathematics, and management. He provides insights into the journey of both life and leadership. Listen in as Gaurav shares his life, his philosophy, and the importance of Artie Burman. Gaurav, I've known you for so many years, but you know, you always intrigue me because there's a part of you that I'm still curious to know about, and so decided to invite you to the podcast to dissect that Gaurav that I don't know, I haven't met. So welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty.
Thank you so much, Rashmi. I think, first of all, this is my privilege and honor. You know, we have normally shared the stage together, and my whole introduction to you or exposure to you has been through your voice.
Yes.
Which is absolutely refreshing. And you know, as Ustad Zakir Hussain told you, ki aapki awaaz pure auditorium ko bhar deti. I think that was a beautiful compliment coming in with the help of just one microphone and the grace of your voice. You're able to just fill the auditorium, and hence for me it has always been a big challenge to stand up with you on the stage, share something from my side, and match up to your voice and grace, which is not possible at all. But you know, it's an honor. It's really an honor because you've been somebody who's inspired a lot of people, including corporates, including, you know, on your personal space as well. You've been engaging with a lot of people, storytelling, voice modulation, something that this world really needs. The art of conversation is literally dead today. We are all more engaged on social media, you know, and I remember somebody mentioning very nicely that you don't post on social media, you perform on social media. People are performing for others. How will they take it? And in this world, you're able to hold meaningful conversations. So looking forward to this one.
You know, I got so carried away, Gaurav, that for a second I forgot I'm hosting you on the podcast. And this is going to be about you. So switching off from there now. I never expected you to speak so much because you're a man of few words. It's so difficult to talk to you and build a conversation. You need to be really familiar. So were you always this quiet person, that little Gaurav was somebody that mama and papa had to pull out to talk to people, always lost in books, nerdy, or did life and your challenges change you to somebody who was very quiet? I want to know your journey from little Gaurav to the Gaurav Sharma that the world knows you today as.
Wow. Okay. So you'll be very surprised to know I was a very, very talkative kid. By the way, very talkative. And whenever I used to come from an examination, my mother used to ask me, are you sure you were quiet for 3 hours? I always say I come from a very R&D research-oriented family. So my mother actually is a person of few words. My father, he's one of those intellectuals always into crossword, and my mother will be found doing Sudoku somewhere, and they're just busy in their world. They don't care about whatever else is happening, and they don't get bothered. I think that's a very, very big learning that I need to have, because in today's day and age, how do you isolate yourselves and stay happy? They say just stay healthy and have a poor memory and you'll be happy. So that's what I think they have a knack for, having a poor memory, so to speak. My father, he was with the Reserve Bank of India, so a little bit of a regulator kind of a person. Even my elder brother, so he was that brainy chap, the boy of few words, who always used to get that 5 marks extra than whatever I got in my life, in my schooling. My sister joined SEBI. She was with Securities Exchange Board of India. So we had two regulators. And I turned out to be very different because, I was very involved in extracurriculars, as I was telling you, actually talkative. And I've kind of mellowed down now. For this podcast, you will see me talking a lot because I think it's a platform that, it needs me to communicate thoroughly with you for you to, deep dive into the journey. Anybody who knows you will obviously start with a lot of things about you, Rashmi, though. I want you to know that. But, I was always outgoing. And there's a theory which says that some children tend to be very different from their parents. This happens in siblings also. This happens in spouses also. This happens in friends also. And normally they say birds of a feather flock together, but also sometimes complementary skills also are, developed as we grow along. So I'm very different, very social that way, have a certain, set of friends, outgoing, somebody who likes to be on the stage and address people, having a connect with people, so to speak. My motto always somehow has been to bring smiles on people's face. Somehow, I don't know how, but even as a youngster, there's a very famous anecdote my mother always tells people. I was in a school in Delhi. This was a DAV public school in Vasant Vihar, and South Delhi, we had teachers who were absolutely strict and coming from a teaching background and very good families and so on. So there was somebody who would intimidate others. And then the strictest of the teacher, she would come walk up to me with high heels and everybody would be scared of her. And she'll just pick me up, take me to the staff room, put me on the table and say, crack some jokes. She somehow liked me and she encouraged me to speak. And I guess I'm by the way, I'm talking about second standard. I'm talking about third grade. And somewhere I feel she kind of pushed me. This is what teachers do to you. They push me into a space where just go up there and talk, say something. And that kind of brought that confidence and removed stage fright for me. So actually, little Gaurav was pretty much outgoing, actually.
Okay, this is unbelievable for me because from the time I've met you, I've seen you as very sober. So this little Gaurav, who was so talkative, was also a class topper. So teacher's pet as one of the most perfect students, all well-rounded.
Good question. Actually, you'll be surprised to know in my 10th grade, my rank was 23 or 24 in the class. And by then, we had moved to Bhopal. So my father was with the Reserve Bank. So I was born in Bombay. We moved to Delhi. Then I did my 7th to 12th in Bhopal. Now, this is a CBSE school in a state where MP board schools are very common. And CBSE has a rigorous attendance policy. But state board is very, very lenient about attendance. You come, don't come, doesn't matter. And everybody in those days used to prepare for IIT. 10th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, I used to get 22, 23, 25 rank. But I was very, very active in extracurriculars, dramatics and, elocution, debate, and all those things. Now, in 10th grade, I got 23 rank. And then in 11th grade, I got first rank. So my teacher walks up to me and says, don't be so happy because top 1 to 22 have left the school to go to state board schools so that they can prepare for IIT. Now you better study hard because hence you are rank 1. That gave a lot of confidence to me, a lot of boost to me. Somehow, Carol Dweck has this book called The Growth Mindset. And for those who don't want to read the book, the TED Talk is good enough, what she has delivered. Brilliant book. I mean, the power of giving a sense of achievement in a child. It's dramatic. You just have to tell the child you're doing fine, you're good, you're fine. So when I got the first rank, I started believing in myself. Though she came and brought me down to the earth, but I mean, she also said it and so on. And eventually, from that whole batch of mine, I was the only one who got into IIT, and none of the others got in, by the way. I'm not saying I'm special or different, but I think somewhere all through 11th and 12th, I won all-round performance awards, dramatics, this, that, all of those things. And there was a time when there was a school picnic in 12th grade. And as you know, when people prepare for IIT, they bunk all the picnics and they will go study and so on. And there was a friend of mine, two, three of us, we were there and we attended the picnic. Next day, our class teacher, I still remember her name, Rodericks, ma'am. Rodericks was one of the senior-most teachers in Bhopal, a legend. This was Campion School, run by an Italian father. And, it was one of those iconic schools. By the way, one Campion is in Bombay, one is in Bhopal. And Bhopal is known for rank one IIT JEE, some 1980s batch, much 10, 15 years before us. But she called us, three of us, in front of the whole class. And she said, most of you bunked yesterday's picnic. You were not participating. These three boys, and it was a boys' school, these three boys came. I'm telling you, these three will do well in their competitive exams. I don't know about others. You better study hard, and because you're bunking picnics and all those things, but please stay involved in school activities, stay with the community. That will make you richer. And actually, one of them, he went into a medical school, he's a big surgeon today. The other one, he went to Jamshedpur, a big engineering college there. I, of course, went to IIT Bombay and so on. So I think it is these blessings, it is these whole sense of being active or showing passion in one area, which also reflects in the other. If you're passionate about extracurriculars, being involved in the community, doing something for everyone and with everyone rather, it will also show up in your academics and work and anything that you want to do. So, typically I hire for passion. So that is one thing that. And so I was not really top of the, but it's a good case study where a small boost can actually give you a lot of self.
Yeah, that is so true. And this is such a beautiful story, I think students should hear how much the t and teachers especially on how much one remark of a teacher, random remark, can make the child actually find himself when he sits down to reflect. If you'd taken the teacher seriously, maybe you would have thought, yeah, maybe because they are not there. But it
Exactly.
actually gave you a different turn in life. Now, this is interesting. Getting into IIT means a lot of prep for JEE. So, and students, like you said, sacrifice 11th and 12th, some even 10th. Now they start from 6th standard with foundation and all the courses. So, how did you manage it all, Gaurav? And IIT Mumbai, Bombay is tough to get into. It's one of the top IITs in India. So, how did you manage to just balance it all?
Yeah, so I think one thing, we all reflect back, and I want to come from macro to micro here. In the Americas, they say 1950s was the best decade. In India, they say 1980s was the best decade when, some of us had the best of our time. The common thread between these two is that this was a time when everybody around you was earning the same amount of money. They were driving the same cars. If you had a phone, they will also have a phone. You have a black and white TV, they will also have a black and white TV. That whole sense of security and confidence. Today, I feel the competition has got aggravated not because of the sheer number of people competing. It is actually because of the way we are perceiving each other's lives. We are not competing with our own excellence or our own brilliance today. We are competing with somebody else. And that, I think, is one thing which really helped me in my childhood. Because, first of all, I was not competing with anybody else. It was not like, wo dekho, unka beta itna hai kar raha hai, wo kar. Because if that chap is studying at 4 p.m., I'm also studying at 4 p.m. It's not that he's having the best laptop of, MacBook specifications and I'm working on some old desktop. No, we never had computers. We were all listening to, actually, this is why I'm wearing this cassette right on my just because I used to listen to R.D. Burman's music and I just started exploring him. And there was some music being played in the background. I'm studying without worrying about what happens to our financial, social, mental status in the company, in the country, in the society. And so nothing, no outside distractions, A, B, no cable TV or the social media distractions. So I think we had it easier, though, we tend to say the next generation is having it easier and they are just messing it up. No, no, no. We definitely had it easier. I had nothing else to do. this tape recorder of mine, whatever songs it will play, I have to listen to that. I can't go on YouTube and put anything I want. That is one. Second, there is no pressure, I would say, which was coming in undue from other people's status or so on. The third thing I would say is that I think I was blessed with some very good teachers. First and foremost, my class teachers were very good. I didn't really have to go for too much coaching or anything like that. Some of the teachers were the best teachers. We respected them. They gave us the nuggets, which I don't think anybody else outside the classroom can get. I strongly believe in good classroom teaching. And third very important factor for me was my father taught me mathematics, by the way. He's an MSc in mathematics, and he would have picked up 12th grade calculus and probability and those difficult topics after 20, 25 years of him studying it. But he could have a sense of brushing his own knowledge and then teaching me. So that personal one-on-one coaching, it was not like a quota, big classroom of 65 students and you don't know what you're doing. It was some of the finest teachers are teaching us, my father, for example. And finally, I think, as I said, no distractions, so I could focus and study. That's very, very important. I think today, most of our, we have also ourselves distracted our children, forget about children getting distracted. I think when people crib, the child is eating junk or watching junk. But the point is, yeah, if you have a 2 liter bottle of Coca-Cola in your refrigerator, how will you stop the child? If you are going out for McDonald's and stuff, how will your child stop your child and so on? So I think the personal sacrifices that our parents made to make sure that we can focus on our studies, I think that is some a lesson for us to learn. So it's not really my doing. It's about the, you know, as they say, the plant won't grow on its own. You can't keep slapping the rose, grow faster, grow faster. You have to put the right manure, right water, right amount of, you know, good quality soil and so. So that whole ecosystem was created, I feel, and I was lucky that I could then grow.
Whatever you said about that generation, the 80s, 70s, 80s, what I can think of is a discussion I was having with a friend yesterday, and we were talking about contentment. Okay, somehow that term doesn't seem to fit in today. Because in spite of having everything, people are not content. God knows what they're seeking. But there was a time when people were content, not with only what they had materially around them, but overall, there was nothing very great pushing them, saying, okay, strive harder, strive harder. Is contentment good in a way? Because today's kids don't have that. They have everything and still don't have it. So what is it that you would see would bring balance in both these 80s kids that you just described to today's
Yeah.
children?
Yeah, I think it's not easy, first of all. I think I can give a lot of gyan sitting here, but it's a battle. It's a daily battle, personally, for me also, for my wife, for the family. And honestly, I mean, we seek inspiration from, for example, people like you, Rashmi. And you'll be surprised. I was reading Panchatantra Sanskrit version, so that I can be sure when it's the shlok, and then the shlok is translated into Hindi. So you know it's not any faff. So there's a beautiful line there. Children tend to imitate your thoughts, the way you react to situations. And it's not only children, but anything that we do. And the beautiful line there was, I remember it said, Ashva, which is horse, Shastra, Shastra, Veena, Vani, Nar, Nari. All of these things will behave the way the person holding them will behave. So by Nar Nari, they mean your employees or your children. By Ashva, if you sit on a horse, and I was learning horse riding for some time, and then we just couldn't continue because of hectic schedules and all. But the teacher used to tell me that the horse is catching your cue. You don't have to be like Dharmendra and do all this chabuk and all, nothing. Horse, just if you turn this side, the horse will turn this side actually. You don't have to keep pulling the leash and stuff. So it's a beautiful equation between the horse rider and the horse. Similarly, your Shastra. The weapon can be in the hand of Arjun, it can be in the hand of Duryodhan, but it will behave differently because the person holding it. Shastra, the knowledge. Veena, the instrument. Vani, your voice. And Narnari. So I think what is important is that we just have to keep reminding ourselves. There are some amazing books that are available which can help us stay grounded and tell us about the reality of life. And they say that, you know, your happiness is not decided by how much you have. It is decided by how much you want. First, fix that want and please make sure it doesn't change every 5 years. Because today I'm happy with X car, tomorrow my friends have Y car, so I need a Z. That's not correct. So I think contentment comes from what is it that I need? Car, takes me from point A to point B. It should save me my fuel or whatever it is. It should be X amount of comfort and so on. And then I fix, okay, fine, this is what I want. Sadhguru says something very good, right? We keep dreaming about traffic on the road. But yeah, you earned all your life to buy the dream car. Now the traffic is making you sit in the dream car. You better enjoy the dream car, right? So, correct. So I, in fact, like traffic jams because that gives me a chance to listen to more music or talk to somebody, connect with somebody, call up somebody and say, hey, how are you doing? And so on, right? So that is one. Second, I think if we notice, a lot of us are now living in houses, there are more bathrooms and the number of rooms and so on and so forth. There's no limit to it. And finally, none of this matters. Finally, what matters is what is it that you really need around you that will give you happiness? If we are able to identify that and then say this much is enough, then anything above that is bonus, blessings of elders or God or whatever it is. I mean, we just say that, fine, whatever else I have, can I put it to good use? Can I save it for investments and so on and so forth? I think then that financial security, I think, is very, very important for all of us. So we need to fix that too. Having a sense of contentment through whatever gives us happiness. Some people it's books, for some people it's music, for some people it's actually more and more time with family. For some people it is more time in isolation. And finally, for some people it's the social cause. So one line that I read, this was a very beautiful book called Psychology of Money. It's a highly recommended book, keeps us very grounded. And the book said, finally, whatever you earn doesn't matter. But what matters is you're really free when you are in control of your time. If you can decide on a given morning, today, this is what I will do for these many hours, then this I'll do, then this is what I'll do. Unless somebody else comes and dictates it. When somebody else comes and dictates your time, you are a slave. Even if you are a CEO of a company or the big investor, if you are not in control of your time, you will not. But if you're retired or even if you're working in an X organization, but you seem to be in control of your time, you feel that, you know, I can divide my day based on what I want to do, the happiness quotient goes. I think that eventually is the key to contentment, so to speak, I feel.
And I think life teaches you best. So now that you're wearing the cassette t-shirt, I need to ask you, you finished 12th, you got into IIT Bombay. Did R.D. Burman enter IIT with you, or were you
Yes.
already an R.D. Burman fan? Because today most of the world knows Gaurav Sharma as that encyclopedia of Pancham. Any question, any doubt, any film, any song of Pancham, you can ask Gaurav and Gaurav will have the answer. Now that you're wearing this t-shirt, I'm so glad you did because it leads me to that question, which makes you such an interesting human being of being able to balance it all so early in life. Studies in IIT is no joke. It's pretty competitive because the best brains come in. But you're able to find that balance again about going deep into a human being who gave us such amazing music and didn't care about recognition. He just continued creating, though recognition came much after he left.
Much later.
Yeah, it is something about him that innovation was the driving force for him. So how did you find Pancham and how did you balance college and Pancham?
See, actually, just before IIT, I had become an RDE fan. Unfortunately, after he had died, it's very interesting because I remember I was in my 10th grade and in the news in Doordarshan at 8:38 p.m. Typically, they will just read the news like a documentation. And I still remember it said, "Suprasit Sangeetkar Rahul Dev Barman ka aaj Mumbai mein, ya Bombay us dino mein, they used to call it Bombay mein, dehant ho gaya." And this is how they used to announce on television. And for me, the news did not make any sense. I mean, I didn't know who is R.D. Barman. And I had no idea. And I remember my father was sitting there and everybody just saw the news and fine, okay. Now this shows, by the way, how much RD was out of league in those days. He was not in the mainstream those days. Now this is January 94. Cut to May 1994. I am in Kasauli, which is a beautiful hill station. It's an army cantonment area. My aunt used to be with the armed forces. So we went there to their house and this is now on top of the hills, Himalayas, and it is raining. It is cloudy and I was alone. My siblings were not with me that time. I was with my cousin. Both of us used to just hang around and do practically nothing. And parents used to be busy with their own things. And she had just bought a cassette of 1942, A Love Story. That cassette had released after R.D. Burman died. And imagine in Kasauli with the mist and the rain and everything I'm listening to as a 14-year-old, Rim Jim Rim Jim and Ek Ladki Ko Dekha. And they had no other, luckily, not too many cassettes. So this was playing on loop. It was like that Bodh Gaya moment for Buddha. You know, I just hate, I don't know what happened. And I was never into music or aisa hai ki waisa hai. Seekha bhi nahin, kabhi seekha nahin. I'm a Kansen, not a Tansen at all. Like, I just have an ear, I guess. That had an impact. For the first time in my life, I picked up a cassette cover and I read Rahul Dev Barman. Period. Khatam. Okay. Then my brother, he got a job, he started working, and then he's used to say, AR Rahman is very good, Roja, Bombay, all this thing. I used to say, nee, actually, you know what? R.D. Burman. I say, time pass me, I would say R.D. Burman is very good. Used to just, because I have to compete with my brother. So on my birthday, he sent me a double cassette set of Gulzar Remembers Panchem. And that is the cassette set which I used to listen to while studying. And slowly, and now luckily, that cassette set has Gulzar Saab talking about RD. It has RD's own voice. It has some of his beautiful songs. And it just started hitting me that this person seems to be very different. And that is when I realized there are some cassettes in the house which I realized were all RD. Shaan, Love Story, some of those albums were always there in our house. So by the time I went to IIT, I at least had some interest in this gentleman. Only because of his music, nothing else. Right now, I have no idea. By 98, I have no idea who is this man. I just know good music, good music, good music. I have not found any bad song, good music, no bad song, good music. Yes. Then I go to IIT and first time we get access to a computer lab. So we have a desktop. Rediff Mail was new and Google had come 1998. So I just sat and I didn't know what to do. So I started typing R.D. Burman and interviews and articles and websites, started reading. And then I realized, yeah, this person's good, but he seems to be a great human being as well. And slowly I started collecting those articles, saving them in a hard disk somewhere in a folder and so on. Even today, by the way, if you go to IIT Bombay or any of the engineering colleges, they will have music folders in the servers. One folder called AR Rahman, one folder called R.D. Burman, and then miscellaneous. Even today in 2024, that's the power of his music. And then I started playing his music in the hostel and so on. And then a lot of friends started saying, "Arey, it's good," started discovering. And that is when slowly and steadily, it's like I told you, no, just say, thoda confidence de do to, that growth mindset happened. So for me, I started being known as RD fan. So I started taking more interest, then got known more, then more interest. So it just got spiraling up. And eventually I realized I have to meet everybody who is associated with him. वहाँ पे भी कुछ इंटरेस्टिंग हुआ था, बाय द वे, इन फर्स्ट ईयर इन आईआईटी यू कैन सिलेक्ट एक्स्ट्रा करिकुलर एक्टिविटीज. सो आई सिलेक्ट वोकल्स, आई विल लर्न सिंगिंग. सो आई वेंट टू अ सिंगिंग क्लास इन आईआईटी. वन मैम यूज्ड टू कम फ्रॉम अंधेरी एंड वेरी गुड टीचर एंड सो ऑन. सो शी वाज प्रिपेयरिंग अस फॉर अ गांधी जयंती प्रोग्राम कॉल्ड अंजलि. इवन टुडे इट हैपेंस इन आईआईटी. सो स्टूडेंट्स विल सिंग भजन्स एंड शी ट्राइड वेरी बेस्ट टू मेक मी सिंग. आई कुडंट सिंग. शी सेड, व्हाट एल्स कैन यू डू? कैन यू प्ले एन इंस्ट्रूमेंट? आई सेड, नो, आई डोंट नो हाउ टू प्ले इंस्ट्रूमेंट. आई वाज जस्ट स्टडीइंग for IIT. I don't know how to play anything. Achha, can you talk? I said, yeah, that I can do. So she said, then why don't you do one thing? You become the compere. This is the first time in my life that I, other than elocution debate, that I became a compere of a bhajan program. And I just went back to my grandmother and I used to listen to all these Morari Bapu and Oja Bai and all those pravachans used to come on TV because my mom, grandmother used to listen to them and she had some books. So I used to collect some stories. So wo 2 October Gandhi Jayanti program, I first time became officially the compere in IIT, first year. And others are singing. I still remember there was a song which was about to be played and the director who was there in those days, his wife dozed off during the program in the front seat when the next song was about to be sung. And I said, the next song, I will not tell you much about it, but it's a beautiful bhajan which is very relevant to some people in this room. So let's listen to the bhajan. And the bhajan was Jago Mahadev. She got the joke, but she was not offended. You know, she just laughed it off. And it was just a joke between her and me, right? Because nobody else knows. She's in the front row. But she never came backstage and said, you know, I'll not let you pass this grade or whatever. So, but my point is this, that's how this journey started. Then Ustad Amjad Ali Khan came, Jagjit Singh came, Louis Banks came, everybody who used to come to IIT for the last next 5 years. I was in a 5 year program. So I used to host all the concerts and I used to go backstage, show them their profile and say, this is what I'm going to read. They would add, subtract something. And then I will say, once this is done, can you tell me about R.D. Burman? So Ustad Amjad Ali Khan will look at me and say, come, let's go for a walk. I will tell you about R.D. Burman. Pandit Shiv Kumar Sharma, Pandit Ronu Majumdar once came. So I asked him, Louis Banks, when he came, I asked him. So even today, if I meet, say, an Amitabh Bachchan or anybody, my second, third question to them would be, tell me anything about R.D. Burman. That's how this thing got built and just kept collecting information.
What prompted you to ask them that question? Because you know they have worked with him, or it was just your curiosity of who is this man and did he even influence them? How did you even think that you can ask them and you would get an answer?
Both the things. So number one is, a lot of them I knew had worked with him, and There were so many surprises, Rashmi. I can't believe everybody has a personal Hardy Burman story. So, by the way, most musicians, the top musicians of the world, have died at a mysterious age of 27. It's very surprising. Most of the top-notch, like Jim Morrison, if I'm not wrong, plus even the new film that is coming, Amar Singh Chamkila, there's just something about magical about 27. There are at least four or five top-notch musicians who have singers, etc., who've been killed or who died at the age of 27. And there's a documentary also called 27, I think, on this cap factor. 27 into 2, 54, Hardy Burman's death. In this so-called short span of life, I feel 54 is also a short span of life. He has touched so many lives. It's unbelievable. I mean, Nida Fazli, who is the lyricist, official lyricist of most Jagjit Singh songs, has worked on two songs of Hardy Burman. In an interview, talks about Hardy Burman. He doesn't need to. I mean, those two are forgettable songs. You don't have to. But he said, this guy just came to know I'm struggling. So his driver left a packet in my hand and went off. Pancham Dane Diya Hai, and that packet had 10,000 rupees. The beauty was, if I ask somebody, invariably they will say something about. I asked Pandit Birju Maharaj, so unka Kathak ka program tha, and I went to drop him to Kaf Parade. I used to live in Colaba those days, so Kaf Parade mein, Shekhar Bajaj ke ghar mein unko drop kiya. So on the way, I asked him, tell me about Hardy Burman. And then he said, "Arey, unke saath to hamara acha dosti tha, Asha ji, Lata ji." Then their house came, Prabhu Kunj. And he showed me also, ye dekho, ye unka ghar hai, yahan pe beech mein Pancham tha, wahan rehte the. Matlab, so anything, any nugget can come. Ronu Majumdar, of course, Shiv Kumar Sharma, Hari Prasad Chaurasia, they will all have stories. By the way, I asked Louis Banks, and I had no idea that Louis Banks' godfather is RD. RD brought him from Calcutta. If you go to Louis Banks' studio, even today, there's a photograph of RD on this in the studio. And who can imagine Jazz King, he's playing fusion music and he will talk about. So I used to just take a chance.
But
So, and
nobody
secondly,
asked you, like, why even are you asking about Adi Berman? Nobody asked you.
nobody was surprised. In fact, as a college student, while Shreya Ghoshal's first album had come, just her first album, I think Bansali film had come in which she had sung songs. Devdas. Devdas released, and the next month she came to promote Devdas in Planetim in VT station. And I used to live in Colaba, so I just went. Ki Shreya Ghoshal hai to, and I was looking for RD's cassettes and CDs, and she was on the stage. And then they said audience can request song. And then I told her, I just raised my hand, and they said, "Oh, chahiye to koi college ka bachcha hai to theek hai." And she was also very young those days. So I told Shreya, "Why don't you sing Rehna Biti Jaaye?" And she was like, "Whoa, sorry? Wow." She was like, "2003, Rehna Biti Jaaye." And I said, "Yeah, I mean, it will sound good in your voice." And she sang. And then I went to take her autograph on one of the CDs and whatever. I mean, that was the whole promotion going on. And when I reached her, she said, "By the way, you made me sing my favorite song. I'm a big Lata RD fan. And it is so good to see a youngster asking me to sing Rehna Biti Jaaye. More power to you."
Clearly, he was part of your life for sure. And then came the collaboration and the book, which was national award winning. How did that journey progress? Because you were also in college parallelly. When you finished college, what was your end result in college?
Well, when I finished college, IIT, I had told my father one thing, that he was a little worried because I was too much into extracurriculars in a engineering college. So I told him, "Dekho, one thing I can promise you, we get grades out of 10, and it is across 5 years. So what happens is 10 semesters, it will get cumulative. If you mess up in one semester, it will mess up the score." So I told him, "I promise you, my score in IIT at the end of 10 semesters will not drop below 8." And he said, "Fine. That's okay with me. But I'll do everything. I'll do acting, theater, voiceover, everything I did." Comparing, of course. I ended up with 8.63 on a scale of 10 and got all the all-rounder institute citation, all those kind of things. I was a music secchi also. Election ladke, you go do your propaganda and you have fancy elections and all that. Yeah. And music secchi banke, by the way, that was another coincidence. So we used to have this program called Surbahar, which is like actual Bombay musicians used to come and students will sing, and the musician orchestra will be professional musicians from somewhere in Bombay. And one uncle used to come with these people. We used to call him Daddy. Aur wo time pe itna concerts, Indian Idol to tha hi nahi. So these guys used to come and perform with our artists. By the time I was the music secchi in 3rd year, 4th year, I realized half of them, they have played with Asha Ji or RD, or and I used to give them a list of RD songs, and they used to say, "Kya badhiya gana hai yaar, kya badhiya gana select kiya, kya badhiya, tum kaun ho bhai, tumko ye gana hai." Because us samay Annu Malik and all those RD Barman, and they used to feel so charged up whenever I used to say, "Ki yaar, ye we'll play this one." And Daddy used to love this whole part of the thing. So Surbahar, I made it grand. I brought it into open air theater, and I said, "Isko bade scale pe karenge." I took permission till 2 a.m. Till 10 p.m. normally concerts are allowed, but I made the dean sign a paper. So when security came to stop the concert, I said, "I have the dean's signature for 2 a.m. and all those things happened. But point being, this whole extracurriculars gave me a lot of real exposure of working with people. And some people in IT are very, very good in what they do, right? Some volleyball players will be national level actors. One of my batchmates, he's the executive producer of so many big shows like on Netflix, like Mamla Legal Hai, Panchayat, etc. So he went on to become big in the industry and so on. And all from core IIT background. Yeah, so that's how this was, end of IIT. And then when I went to Dubai, a new chapter opened in the R.D. Burman thing. And when I came back from Dubai, that's when I realized a film on R.D. is being made and got in touch with Brahmanand, the filmmaker. And then we collaborated on this beautiful film on R.D.
So clearly, Adi chose you on how he came into your life after he left, and then on how it went deeper, and the love affair still continues. That's the best part because when it comes to his music, everyone who talks about music talks about Adi Berman. Who know a little bit about music have him as part of their filmography when they talk about good music and they bring out their repertoire of songs that they would love to sing one day. So here is this man who has completely captivated the world post his death, years after suddenly he woke up. And you are such a big fan. So what would you call this phenomenon, Gaurav?
For RD's success.
For the love that people hold for him so much more now than when he was there.
See, I think I feel music draws extremely sharp emotions in people. I think first and foremost, the beauty of RD's work is that it is music, which anybody can naturally, every human being naturally is lover of music, right? I mean, you see a random guy walking on the road, and if there is music being played on loudspeaker, his or her walk will change with the rhythm, right? I mean, everybody has a rhythm. We have our heart beating. We have children intuitively relating to music. Now, the best part about some of these things, music and I feel food, these two things people relate to, right? These
And
touch,
he's
I
good at
somehow.
both. He's good
And
at
he
both.
was good at both. He was good at both. And there's a famous saying ki गाना या राग, खाना और पगड़ी, ये तीन चीज फिर से सेम तरीके से नहीं कर सकते. सो इफ यू हैव क्रिएटेड समथिंग इन म्यूजिक और इन कुकिंग और अ टर्मन टाइड इन अ सर्टन वे, यू कैन नॉट रिपीट इट द सेम वे सेकेंड टाइम, राइट? सो द ब्यूटी इज दैट पीपल हैव ऑल्सो रियलाइज दैट वॉट आर.डी. बर्मन हैज मेड इन म्यूजिक इज समथिंग विच कैनॉट बी रिक्रिएटेड. इट कैनॉट बी डन अगेन इवन बाय आर.डी. हिमसेल्फ, बिकॉज वॉट ही हैज क्रिएटेड इज समथिंग विच इज इट्स दैट होल एनर्जी, दैट होल मोमेंट, दैट होल फिनोमिनन दैट केम टूगेदर. सो आई थिंक दैट रियलाइजेशन दैट पीपल आर गेटिंग इन दोज डेज, लेस टेक्नोलॉजी, मोर पीपल जैमिंग एंड कमिंग टूगेदर, लॉट ऑफ अनप्लग्ड म्यूजिक, लॉट ऑफ अकूस्टिक म्यूजिक इक्विपमेंट. आई मीन वॉट really amazes people. I think the phenomenon why he's becoming more and more popular is because you pick up his album, like for example, Dil Padosi Hai. And if anybody listening to that podcast wants to just get small exposure into RD's world, just listen to Dil Padosi Hai, a private album, Asha Ji, Gulzar, and RD Burman. That album was recorded in a makeshift studio of temporary studio of HMV in Churchgate when their big studio was under renovation. There was traffic outside. Gulzar Saab used to stand on the window holding the window closed so that traffic sound doesn't come inside. In 1986, in those circumstances, he has created. And if you listen to that with headphones or otherwise in good speakers, you'll be amazed at the way the sounds, the mixing, the clarity of each and every note. I have a piece of one of the songs, Sato Bar Bole Bansi, where the baya of the tabla and the bass guitar are going together. And if I increase the bass of the music system, you can only listen to the bass guitar. If I reduce and increase the treble, you can listen to the baya of the tabla. Separate two sounds mixed by this gentleman without any software, without any computers. Innovation comes not when you have fullness, when you have emptiness, when you have something lacking, when you have resources crunch, which is the biggest learning of innovation in a corporate. If you have everything going for everybody, nobody's going to innovate. One has to create that hunger, that passion in people and say, let's build something. Show them the passion, show them the path. People will find the way. But it cannot happen, sab sahi chal raha hai, sab achcha chal raha hai, kuch karne ki zarurat nahi hai. Just cash cow, milking the cash cow will not get us anywhere. So it's a beautiful learning. And this is, I think, what amazes people. So youngsters, they listen to, say, Lakdi Ki Kathi, they start grooving to that song because, of course, the song is beautiful. मेलेडी है, बट लुक एट द साउंड्स ही इज यूजिंग इन दैट. ही इज यूजिंग ऑल सॉर्ट्स ऑफ सिंपल रिदम्स व्हिच अ चाइल्ड विल लिंक रिलेट टू. चिल्ड्रन सॉन्ग यूज्ड टू बी वेरी कॉम्प्लिकेटेड इन इंडिया टिल गुलजार साहब एंड आर डी बर्मन केम.
Gaurav, in the making of this film on Pancham and the writing of the book, which won you national awards, I'm sure you met a lot of these legends who today we call legends, who are part of that journey and who are part of Adi Berman's journey on Mother Earth. When you interact with them one-on-one, for us at a distance, we have a different picture. But when you meet them one-on-one, what have been some of your learnings? What have you noticed about them? And what is the common factor running through all of them?
What was interesting was I was approaching everybody, right? When we met Rishi Kapoor or Vinod Chopra, Gulzar Saab, Javed Saab, Asha Ji, or anybody who was associated with RD, I used to approach them thinking, what do I get from them about RD Burman? While anybody else who would approach them will approach them with, Arey, it's Gulzar Saab, Arey. In fact, there's a favorite story of mine. I had met Carlos Santana in US. And I was sent for a HP event, selected from India. Some competition was there, and they sent me to Las Vegas. And he was performing for HP. And my chief customer officer had a meet and greet pass, and he called me and he said, "Gaurav, hey, listen, you've come all the way from India. I would like you to go and meet him. I'll meet him some other time, but why don't you just go backstage?" And so there was an arrangement backstage where you can go interact with Santana, get a photograph clicked. It will be framed and sent with this lovely signet. Talk. All I asked him was, "Have you heard about R.D. Burman, Mr. Santana?" And he was like, "Sorry, sorry, come again. Can you spell his name? Can you tell me? I said, "His stage music arrangement looks just like yours. Brass section, there is Latin American rhythm instruments, then there is this, that, karke. So he's just like your music. And you should check him out." And he said, "You please tell me his name properly." I said, "R.D. Burman." He said, "Thanks, I will look him up." And I said, "You should. I mean, he's amazing. He's a dynamite." And he said, "Hey, listen, I know Ravi very well. Ravi just recently passed away. So Pandit Ravi Shankar had just passed away around that time. So, he spoke about him." I said, "Just take this musician genius out," and so on. So this is how I would define my interaction. So I realized one thing, that A, one has to acknowledge that somebody has become popular, famous, or successful not to come and serve you. They've done that because of their own, right, their own hard work and so on. I mean, if you look at Asha Ji's stories from childhood, or Gulzar Saab's stories, or Javed Saab, Gulzar Saab says, "I'm not talented, I'm hardworking." If you look at Javed Saab, the struggling days that he went through, or anybody, Rishi Kapoor and so on and so forth. I mean, coming from Raj Kapoor's lineage and such, Shashi Kapoor, Shammi Kapoor, everybody is successful. How will Rishi Kapoor become successful? He worked very hard on his craft. So one thing is that they are human, they have worked very hard. Let's acknowledge that and approach them from that space. So they are human, they will have their fallacies, but let's appreciate the hard work behind them. So some interactions, by the way, may not go very well. Some interactions may go very well, but मतलब झगड़ा हलवाई से हो सकता है ना, झगड़ा मिठाई से नहीं हो सकता होता है. So their work speaks volumes. The person may or may not live up to your mark because they are not there to please you. It's just a moment. So we have to separate the moment from the work. And some memorable interactions I had is when Rishi Kapoor said in our film, "I have done 16 films with RD," and I said, "Chintu ji, you have done 17 films." He was like, "You come here. How old are you?" I said, "I'm 27. How do you know I've done 17 films? Tell me all the names." So he's now testing me. This is his love. So I told him, "Hey, tak, 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 karke, 17. This guy used to come to my house here. He told me I've done 16 films. तो यार सही बोल रहा है यार, मैं तो 17 किया है. वो तो 20 साल से मेरे घर पे आके मेरा खाना खा रहा है. एंड ही इज टेलिंग मी रॉन्ग. हे, डू यू हैव ऑल द सॉन्ग्स? All 17 films?" I said, "Yes. Can you send me? Can you please send?" So this is how now we change the conversation. So this is a very human to human conversation. He's not throwing any air. Now, you won't believe, Rashmi, that CD, I burnt a CD. I came back to campus. I am Calicut. I burnt a CD and couriered it to him from Calicut to Bombay. And I forgot about it. 27 June, my phone rings. I'm in Calicut on a dull afternoon. I pick up the phone and he says, "Hi, Gaurav." I said, "Yeah, I'm Rishi Kapoor here." I said, "Oh, Chintuji." So because I had written my phone number in the letter when I sent the CD, and he said, "Arey yaar, I got all your songs, all R.D. Burman songs, and today is R.D. Burman's birthday, yaar. I got it on his birthday, yaar." And he was so emotional, and he was like, "Yaar, every year I used to send him bouquet. Aaj main soch hi raha tha, Pancham ko yaad kar raha tha, aapke gaane mil gaye, yaar." So these kind of things. And then I remember Gulzar Saab ko maine ek unka biography book diya to sign in the Bangalore Literature Festival. This was much after the film was made. This is Nasreen Muni Kabir's beautiful book. While he was signing, he was having a very serious look, and there are, 20 other people waiting to meet him. And this was a time when he was sitting alone, and I just showed him the book from far, and he told the security guy, please let him come. And I went, and while he was signing, I told him, Gulzar Sahab, ये जो बुक है ना, ये मैंने पढ़नी छोड़ दी बीच में, आधी पढ़ के छोड़ दी मैंने. तो देन ही लुक्ड एट मी, सीरियसली क्या हुआ, ऐसा क्या हुआ? मैंने कहा मुझे डर है खत्म हो जाएगी, ये इतनी अच्छी बुक है. तो एंड देन ही लाफ. और जावेद साहब के साथ जो इंटरेक्शन है, या आशा जी के साथ, जो जैसे आशा जी को मैंने बीच में थोड़ा सा चैलेंज किया, मैंने बोला कि आशा जी नहीं, ये इन्फॉर्मेशन गलत है. एंड शी वाज लाइक, सो दे लाइक द फैक्ट दैट यू हैव एन इनेट इंटरेस्ट इन देयर आर्ट एंड क्राफ्ट. सो आई थिंक दैट होल लव फॉर आर्ट कल्चर इज फर्स्ट. सेकेंड इज लेट्स अंडरस्टैंड द ह्यूमन बिहाइंड, एंड थर्ड इज लेट्स अप्रिशिएट द हार्ड वर्क दे हैव ऑल गॉन थ्रू एंड रिस्पेक्ट देयर स्पेस. एंड बाय द वे, एनी कॉन्वर्जेशन दैट वन कैन हैव अबाउट समबडीज वर्क इज अ ब्यूटिफुल कॉन्वर्जेशन दैट कैन हैपन. आई मीन दे वुड लव टू टॉक टू यू, नॉट अबाउट सर आप तो ग्रेट है, इट हैज टू बी अबाउट यू रोट दिस लाइन, आई डिसअग्री विद दिस लाइन, और वॉट अ ब्यूटिफुल लाइन.
Post IIT, did your career move to Dubai back, and then you did your stint at IIM? How did that happen, and how did your career? Because this is, yes, something that had a huge influence on you, but was it also affecting decisions of how you were looking at life, your career, and how you are progressing? Or you had that typical start like every IIT IIM person would have?
Yeah, I think my career in the first few years progressed the way it would for anybody from these campuses, right? So from IIT, then I went to Dubai, work in a engineering oil and gas company for 2 years. I always wanted to do an MBA. Somehow I did not even write CAT exam during my IIT days. A lot of people were. I didn't. And hence I ended up going and taking up a job. Now I got a random job in a random engineering company, J.R. McDermott, Texas-based company, their Dubai branch. And randomly, I just got that job and just went there. I don't know, but I guess I went there to meet some of the finest. I met some of the three, four of the finest R.D. Burman fans this planet has. And so passionate, such lovely people, Gopal, Sundaram, Kaustubh, and they are there in the R.D. Burman film also. And got some brilliant collection of music and so on. I mean, that job for me was just grunt work, engineering work, nothing exciting, but had a good stint, met some very good people, even in the company and so on. But my passion was ki meko MBA karna. I was very, very clear. I don't want to do masters elsewhere or PhD and so on. So I was writing CAT, and luckily, Career Launcher's founder was there in Dubai. He was actually there to launch 11th, 12th grade courses or programs for NRI kids. And he just gave a newspaper article or an advertisement where he said in Dubai, in College Times, and he said, anybody wants to prepare for for IIM's CAT, let me know. I'm in Dubai. So I just pinged him, and his name is Shrini, and Shrini is the founder and beautiful human being. They had a humble background. So first, his brother went to IIM Bangalore, and Shrini Satya, and Shrini worked so that he can pay the fees. Then he came out, he worked and paid fees for, and both of them went to IIMs. And then they started Career Launcher, and the rest is history. And he taught me. But he taught me not CAT. He taught me how to be a better human being. And he told me one thing at the end of that 6 months of preparation. He told me, Gaurav, I think you will crack and you will get. So I got 99.02 percentile, which is not bad at all. But I got calls only from NITI, MDI, I think SPGen, and then IIM Calicut. So I did my MBA from IIM Kozhikode, Calicut. And this was the fourth IIM after Lucknow, Calicut, and then Indore. Six, the top six are these older ones. He told me, you will not believe, Shrini took my mock interview in Dubai, and he tells me, "Theek hai yaar, you're okay, you're fine. Go back. In the interview, just make sure they come to R.D. Burman." I said, "Sorry, what do you mean?" He said, "You have to bring the interview to R.D. Burman." I said, "Why?" Because he said, "This is one space about which what you know, nobody knows." Because by then I had met Asha ji once, and I had corrected Asha ji also. "Asha ji, aapka information thoda galat hai." And she was like, "Yaar, tum bacha mere ko bata rahe ho." Then I proved it to her, and then she was like very happy. She really blessed me, and she said, You can see RDD's house, however long you want to be here, and so on. So Shrini saw that, and you will not believe, Rashmi, all my interviews, they used to ask me, and I used to somehow bring it to, it's like, they silly question, right? Kya puchte hain wo log? IAS exams, IIM, who's your role model? Now, the one before me said Ratan Tata, somebody said Mother Teresa, main bolta R.D. Burman. Abhi, if somebody says Mother Teresa, what will you ask them? You will not ask them why Mother Teresa, because everybody knows. That's what even Aishwarya Rai will say in Miss World bro, this one competition. I said Adi Barman. Now interviewer is asking, yaar, are you joking? How can Adi Barman be your role model? Tell me how. So now the next 10 minutes belongs to me, because imagine in a 40 minutes interview, 10, 15, 18 minutes to aapka ho gaya. And then I have to tell her ki, this is what he did, this is how, this is what we can learn, leadership, ye wo. And they were like, wow, okay, fine. So that's how this whole thing played out. So yeah, but after IIM Calicut, I went into consulting. So I went into Accenture Consulting, did 4 years of consulting there. From there, moved to Bangalore. Bangalore, I moved after Accenture with an ex-consultant who was working in a senior position in Bangalore. And he actually had met me through somebody, and he just got talking, and we spoke for 2.5 hours. And then he said, by the way, are you looking for a job? I would like to offer you something. And then he brought me to Bangalore, and I came to HP, Hewlett Packard. So there I spent then somewhere around 7 years actually at HP. And then for last 6 years now, I'm working in startups, like move from a big organization to, you know, elephant organization to
That's
startups.
true. So here you are, IIT Bombay, IIM, then Bangalore City calls you, and you are settled completely in Bangalore. And then from the typical corporate life, you've moved into startups, and you're now in the education space. The work that you're doing is beautiful. So can you tell us about this current startup that you're working with?
Yeah. So I think this is basically the closest you can get to shaping the future of the country, or, you know, of the society. As I was telling you, I think some time back, and this is how, you know, things get linked to what you also do personally. A lot of IIT training, coaching, etc. for me happened through the classroom, through the good class teachers. And of course, my father played a role there. But I strongly believe in the power of having a good classroom for our school. So that's when I came across Leeds School, and they had an opportunity. And 2 years back, I joined Leeds. So Leeds is founded by Sumit and Smita. They're very, very passionate. For the last 10 years, they're running this startup. Today, it's a unicorn. I work here as Chief Excellence Officer. So what it means is that this company has books, curriculum, technology, hardware. Teachers in very, very affordable private schools are given technology to teach in the best possible manner. So the books are lead. 50% material is in the books, 50% will be in the tablet. Teacher will be given daily lesson plans, and she just needs to come prepared and just follow the lesson plan. There'll be some videos played, some activities to be done, and so on and so forth. So that enhances the way classroom teaching happens, because in these schools, teachers technically don't get trained well for teaching. They don't get the resources to make good lesson plans. Some of them are not even trained teachers, actually. They're just there because it's a job and they live nearby. So with this power of technology, they are able to incorporate in their regular teaching the best practices, what any good school in a big city or a big country will be exposed to. So there are teaching methodologies, etc. So my team actually trains them, does the mindset shift, works with the principals and owners, and makes them understand that this is a good way. Because inherently, nobody likes change.
Correct.
Somehow, we are all, yeah, we love status quo. So how do you change?
And was the acceptance easy? Is it something that they're receptive to, or are there people who are still not comfortable?
Sure. So I think this one, there are people who will still be uncomfortable, but the biggest piece here is habit formation. So for 90% of our teachers, my team tries to get them into a habit of using this. So once they start using it, they see that the whole teaching methodology has become so seamless for them, and it's become part of their life. And see, people resist change, but once they get into it and a habit is formed, and typically it takes 66 odd days, right? So 2 to 3 months it will take. But then once teachers start using it, the acceptance is very, very high. So we have a very solid 90% plus schools who retain with us. They complete their 3 year contract. A lot of them renew also after that. So most of them renew with Leeds School. So I think that way this has shown enough. We are now in 3,000 schools. So
Oh.
there's enough proof of concept across 22 states of the country and union territories. Everywhere we are there.
Any particular story, Gaurav, on that journey of yours, especially with this startup, where It gave you the signal that you were on a path that you were supposed to be on, like because Adi Burman gave you so much all through your journey. So in this journey, have you met any kid or feedback from a kid which gave you that immense satisfaction that you've made the right choice?
Absolutely. I think there are many, many stories. So, see, I can tell you a couple of them, right? So, we went to this place. I went to visit a school in Akbarpur. This is near Lucknow. And this is complete, there are mango trees and you can't see any houses, any buildings. You're just driving through a tiny road. And when we reached the school owner, who is also the principal, very passionate about education, but he's also not a trained teacher or anything. He just had some land and his father left him with. He used to repair radios and other things in his early days. And then he just thought, if I have land, I'm in the middle of five villages, why not open a school? And he just opened a school. And even when we went there, he didn't have enough classrooms, and 11th grade, 12th grade children were under the mango tree. They were studying under the mango tree while others, the junior grades, were in the classroom. He came out and he was very, very emotional. He said, "Sir, you have come all the way here. Nobody comes here to meet. Everybody just gives books and goes." So he was first touched with that. The second thing is his children. He then organized some Q&A with them. And the kind of questions, it just looked like if the setting was a big city, you would have not even, missed that these children were actually from Akbarpur versus from Bangalore or were not from Mumbai and so on. The kind of questions they were asking, the kind of competitions they were preparing for, the kind of hunger they had, for example. The way they wanted to grow and excel. And they were literally asking me questions like, I'm reading this concept, how useful this concept will be, can you help me? So one of the things we do in LEAD is we connect everything to life. We always give context to the children. We always make it, it's called concentric learning, where we say, "Sir, I will do something, then we do, I do, we do, and then you do, then the child does." Whereas traditional teaching means, "I do, you do, I do, you do. I'll teach you something, now you go solve it." No, the we do is very important. So how do you build collaboration, thinking skills, communication skills by doing the joint group activities and so on? So there was nothing lacking in these students. And we run something called as LEAD Championship. And 1 lakh students participate from LEAD schools, out of which 40, 45 are selected for finals. And this year finals took place in Bangalore. Now, this ratio is tougher than IAS exam or IIT exam. From 1 lakh, you have 40 selections. And you should see the presentations they were making. I mean, there were these girls from Kashmir who, in a competition, we told them, create an app. So they made an app for mental health. And she went on to, the both of them, classmates, they went on to talk about how it is, so on. Then we had, and all the presentations were in English, aided by some slides or some presentations that they had made or some projects that they had made. They brought it. Some of them had come to a big city like Bangalore for the first time. They were overwhelmed with the setting, but on stage they were super confident. And in fact, Chetan Bhagat was one of the judges, also one of the guests in the LEAD Championship. And he came and he was like, he just kept taking videos because he couldn't believe what he's seeing. And these are all children coming from cities, some of the towns you have not even heard the names of. It's very difficult for somebody to relate, ki, acha, acha, this is where this place is, this is where this. No. So these are so many stories and teachers and principals and owners who've seen a big transformation through this.
I know, I know. And talking about transformation, we had the pandemic, which hit everyone. Whether we liked it or not, most of us got, I assume, got transformed because it got us all back to the starting point again to reflect and see how life can be more meaningful. All of us took some lessons. What were your reflections from the pandemic?
I think one of the key things that one has to accept, I think there's a lot of acceptance that has come in, the fact that the world around us is volatile, it is uncertain, there has to be chaos, and you can't make sense of everything around, right? So one learning for me is it is futile to start forecasting and predicting things, right? A lot of us take pride in, ye election jeetega, wo match jeetega, tomorrow it will rain, day after tomorrow this will happen. I think it is all not worth it. It's not good to invest in predictions. It's good to invest in preparedness. Just prepare. anything can go wrong. So the biggest definition of risk is when you have thought about everything and then something happens which you have not thought about. That is risk. So how can we prepare about it? So I think this whole agility to respond to situations around contentment that we spoke about in the beginning of this talk, when you asked me, you know, how do you develop that sense of contentment? That is very, very important. Third is, let's not look for satisfaction, success, happiness somewhere outside. The whole circle of concern should be within. What I have is what I want. It is not about what I want is whether I have that or not. I have something, I want it. You're happy. Otherwise, it becomes very, very difficult. The other lesson is that today when people are looking at pandemic, and I remember the second phase especially was the toughest phase. It just snatched somebody from everybody's family and so on. And it was unbelievably tough. But you know, Charlie Chaplin said once that life is a tragedy when you look at it in close up. But when you look at it in long shot, it's a comedy. But this whole pandemic also taught us that what were the kind of things we were doing? You know, taking plate and hitting it with spoon and clapping and all. I mean, all sorts of things we were doing. But at the end of the day, we were looking for a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning, and a gratitude to thank people who are helping the society at large and so on. So I think it's very, very important for us to understand that yes, there will be stress. Yes, there will be tough times. But what you have, nobody can snatch it away from you. Because what you have earned, all your pedigrees and all the family around you and you know, the happy memories and so on. Like they say, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. So these small, small moments are very, very precious. And I think one has to have a good, strong catalog of things, achievements, and so on, which you can dip into, dive into when things go wrong. I think that is very, very important. What matters is what you should have around you rather than looking at, yeah. The car was of no use, for example. The damn car we spoke about at the beginning of the talk. What will you do? You can't even go out. So you better have a good collection of books or movies or these small things or toys or books or whatever it is for you to enjoy. I mean, that 2 hours that God has given you extra in a day after work and personal, you know, obligations and everything. What are you doing with those 2 hours? So let's build some passion, some hobby. I always tell people you have to have a hobby. Otherwise, it's boring. Don't live for others.
And on this note, three life lessons, Gaurav. Like, as much as you have enjoyed life, there's so much about life that you're also reflecting on. And everything you saw from the pandemic also is pretty deep. Three life lessons that you hold very dear.
What I feel is what you feel strongly about is what turns into your slogan or mantra or, you know, something that you abide by till you find something better or good. And that is the process of evolution. So that is one key thing. And hence, there's nothing wrong in if you're changing for the good, you're changing for the better. Nothing wrong in. I would definitely say when I said, you know, invest in a passion or a hobby, Elvis Presley also once said that if you enjoy spending time on something, though it's not related to your academics or profession and so on. If you're enjoying time, that's fine. It's not a waste of time. It will come handy to you one day. Now, if after 10 years you will look back and say, oh, this was useless, then stop doing it. But trust me, I mean, you won't believe what I was doing a couple of days back. I had some spare time on Sunday afternoon and I was actually going through a movie soundtrack of RD and I knew that he was involved in the background score himself. He used to sit in the recordings. So I ripped the complete background score of that movie. So just deleted all the dialogues and took. And now I have 22 minutes of background score of a movie. And I found some music pieces which nobody has heard because it's there in a movie, it's not there in a CD. So nothing is a waste of time. Now it's part of my music collection, right? So how do you find new music of a composer who died 30 years back? This is how you find it. And I know after 10 years also I will cherish it. So my point is, if you are interested now, today, in something, you will be interesting tomorrow for somebody. So one has to invest time in some of these things. That is one definite life lesson that I can think of. The second thing I can think of is, you know, one has to also understand that some of these things, you know, anything that achievers have, I realize when I look at biographies and look at people who've been successful, and we have spoken about a life journey, and you've seen me for last almost 7, 8 years now. You know, any success takes at least 20 years. And I always say, it's a beautiful phrase by somebody that overnight success takes 20 years to make. So let's not forget that you can't rush into, because I have 20,000 songs of R.D. Burman, doesn't mean I will become an encyclopedia in less than 3 months. It doesn't work like that. It has to be through this. I have heard his songs through cassettes. They used to get stuck. The tape used to come out of the cassette, and then you take a pencil and you start putting it back. I can tell you side A first song, then side B last song is which one. Because you will listen to every song 1,000 times, because you can't afford that 35 rupees cassette till your parents give you that next 40 rupees pocket money. Then you go and look for cassette somewhere. So things take time organically to grow. So when a child says, I'm getting bored, thank God. It's lovely the child is getting bored. In today's day and age, if somebody is getting bored, hopefully that person, that child, that human being will, you know, invest time in something. And like Raju Hirani, when he made Munna by MBBS, these were his diary notes from his, you know, friends from school who went to medical college, and he stayed in somebody's hostel. So he used to write notes from medical days because he had some close friends. He used to share a lot of anecdotes. From that diary he wrote some 30 years back or 20 years back, he made a blockbuster film called Munna Bhai. So organic growth will take time. If any, in Harvard, they did a beautiful study where they put two fish, one in a warmer water, one in a colder water than seawater, than whatever's fresh river water. And the one who was the fish which was in the warmer setup, she grew very fast. And the one who was in the colder setup grew slowly. Then they took both of them and put them in the natural normal temperature. And then finally, over time, they both grew to the same size. But eventually, the one who grew very, very fast, she died first. And the one who had grown slower was more steady, sturdy, and she could survive. So body also teaches us that you can't just grow somebody into a giant and say they will, no, because the tissues will be hollow, they'll be weak, the bones won't be ready, or whatever happened with that fish. So learning, development, growth will take time. Please invest. You cannot read 3 books and become a leadership guru. You have to read 3,000 books, out of which possibly 2,900 will not make sense. But to find that 100, you have to go through 3,000. And that is very, very critical. You cannot shorten a life's journey. If you want to do that, please experience through somebody else's life. Then read biographies. You will learn. Because everybody has solved some problem or the other in the last, you know, 3,000 years, you will find. And finally, I would just end. I had actually kept one line for this podcast. This, I don't know where I heard, in one of the podcasts I heard recently on YouTube, in one of the literature festivals. So somebody said, right, so 3 things I've told you. One is be interested now to be interesting later. Second, things take time. Please invest time organically. And the third, I would say definitely is the, you know, so it's a beautiful sher which says, agar masti zinda hai, to hasti zinda hai. You have to be, you know, happy go lucky and have your, it's okay to have a good wishbone, good backbone, but you need a funny bone. तो अगर मस्ती जिंदा है तो हस्ती जिंदा है, वरना पूरी दुनिया जबरदस्ती जिंदा है. आई थिंक यू हैव टू ऑल्सो अनवाइंड, हैव फन, एंड प्लीज स्टिक टू पीपल हु कैन अनवाइंड, हु कैन हेल्प यू हैव फन, हु आर नॉट विद यू बिकॉज ऑफ योर डेजिग्नेशन और बिकॉज यू नो. सो आई लव टॉकिंग, मीटिंग यू रश्मि, फॉर एग्जाम्पल. यू हैव नो आइडिया हु आई एम, वेर आई कम फ्रॉम, बट दैट 2 आवर्स, 1 आवर, 3 आवर्स इंटरेक्शन दैट वी हैव, इट इज एन आई who connect. It is not what is yours and what is mine that connects.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful name you have given to this podcast, you and I.
Thank you, Gaurav. Like you said, we've known each other for 7, 8 years, but the Gaurav today that I saw is completely different. So I wish and pray your hasti and your masti stay with you, because that's what makes you such a wonderful, zabardast companion to have, whether on stage or off stage. Stay blessed, Gaurav. An honor having you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Enjoyed myself thoroughly. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rashmi. It was a pleasure. And thank you for calling me for this. It was fun.
Completely. With that, we complete this episode of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know inspirational people whose story needs to be heard. You can write in at rashmi.thirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thetirdeye@gmail.com.